Hello and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutan.
Welcome to Consider This. This is the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. Yesterday was the International Day for the World's Indigenous Peoples, and this year's theme was Leaving No One Behind. It suggests that many Indigenous communities have been disproportionately impacted by the disruptions caused by the pandemic. Now, how have Malaysia's Indigenous peoples, the Orang Asli and Orang Asal, fared during this year? And what remain the core challenges of these communities? Our first guest tonight is Dr. Weylin Jeffrey Jehum from the Department of Anthropology and Sociology at University of Malaya. She was also, until very recently, the head of the Center for Malaysian Indigenous Studies. Weylin, thank you for joining us on the show tonight. Now, as I mentioned, yesterday was the International Day for Indigenous Peoples, and I'm just wondering how you think this year's theme reflects on the issues specific to Malaysia. I mean, have we done enough to ensure that Orang Asli and Orang Asal communities are not left behind here?
Thank you, Melissa, for inviting me. And hello, Sharad. I think this year is a bit, I must say it's quite exceptional because it's a very special situation we're having here. I mean, in general, Indigenous people in Malaysia has always been far left behind. And the fact that the theme for this year, no one should be left behind, is quite, I must say, it's a big challenge to address because of the core problems that we have in Malaysia. And I think Malaysia knows what the kind of challenges that the Indigenous people are facing. We are facing the issue of the ongoing rights violations, for example, so the issue of the land rights, and also the issue of violations of free, prior, and informed consent. And with the COVID-19, this pandemic, I do not think that things are getting better. And as we can see that the statistics is going up and up, and I do not think that our Indigenous communities are doing better socially and economically as everybody else, but I think they are in far worse situations. However, I would like to highlight two of the situations that has been going on, and the fact that there has been so much campaign done by the NGO groups. And I must say, Dr. Rusaslina Idris at University of Malaya, for example, with her group, has been endlessly trying to help to campaign for the Orang Asli communities to understand how important vaccinations are. And they have been translating all the posters into various Orang Asli Indigenous groups. And then Dr. Izandis, for example, at Hospital Gombak, he has been getting Orang Asli vaccinated. And also the effort in Sarawak, for example. I do not know much about Sabah, but in Sarawak, for example, various clinics has been assigned to have vaccinations in order to get the local communities to be able to walk in and also to sign up at the local clinics in order to access the vaccinations. So,
yeah, well, if I could just jump in there and ask, well, you know, Indigenous communities, our fellow citizens, basically, right? And the issue really is access to healthcare that should be easy. What are the specific reasons why people, you know, within Indigenous communities might suffer or have greater barriers or hurdles to those kinds of access that other Malaysians have?
Okay, in general, most of the Indigenous communities, they are living in rural areas, and that is already have some kind of logistics and also access physically to clinics and to hospitals due to the logistic problems. But I must say that the problems among the Orang Asli in Peninsula with Sabah and Sarawak are quite different because of the because of the cultural backgrounds. Okay, why I say it's different. Okay, in Sarawak, for example, most of the clinics are very close to the center where a few villages can actually access the clinics. However, we don't have any doctors there, so it's just like medical assistance, and of course for serious disease and all this kind of stuff, they will have to travel to town, for example. And then among the orang asli, they really have to access to go out from their village. You know, like for example, as we know, the situation with the batik a group a couple of years ago, they are half. They don't really settle down in a village, you know, and access to the health system is very challenging, because they have some kind of challenges in communications, and also like I've been told by some of the other researchers and also the Orang Asli communities that they actually face some kind of stereotypes when they go to public hospitals, you know, facing with the nurses in the hospitals. I would not name any hospitals, right, but that is the general situations, yeah.
Right, that could be discrimination in specific circumstances. Can I ask you, talking about those stereotypes, and stereotypes come from a certain narrative that's perpetuated, and I know, Weylin, through your work, you've done so much to champion the preservation of Indigenous knowledge and culture. How do we ensure that that, you know, Indigenous people's voices are included in the mainstream narrative, and that those harmful stereotypes and certain tropes of Indigenous peoples are avoided and done away with?
Yeah, this is a very challenging question to answer, because I think it will take a very long years in order to get people who are non-Indigenous coming from various backgrounds to understand the importance of communications, and also the importance of sharing knowledge about each other. In another talk previously, I was speaking about sharing the history from below, you know, like in our education system, for example. Basically, what need to be done, the first thing need to be done is to include Indigenous people in the history that is taught in school, okay, because I do not think that anyone, you know, any one of us knows the existence of the others if we have not learned about it. And then most of the informations that we get about the others are not what we learn in school, you know, not in the history book. So, of course, there's media exchange on showing the reality of the Indigenous people in the peninsula, in the Sabah, in Sarawak, but the reality that is highlighted in the media is always on the cultural background. It doesn't really show the real situations of the people, only highlighting on the cultural background that we don't practice every day. You know, there is not much reality about who the Indigenous people really are. And these are the kind of barriers that need to be to be solved first, because we do not have that kind of exchange cultural communications, you know? So I don't really know how to put it into words, because I also experienced
it
myself.
That was a good answer, Weylin. That was a good
Thank
answer.
You.
We appreciate your time and your insights joining us on the show tonight. That was anthropologist Dr. Weylin Jehome. We're going to take a quick break here and consider this, but we will be back with more. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Worrying about hair fall even when it's colored.
Budaya dan semangat menjadi kesinambungan perpaduan tanah air yang tercinta. Berteraskan adab yang terpahat di jiwa dan raga. Marilah bersama kita membina negara Malaysia.
Semua yang terjadi adalah berita, tetapi tiada siapa yang boleh bawakan yang terkini dan tergempar seperti kami.
Dilihat hanya memberi wang tanpa matlamat yang tepat.
Dia tidak melakukan apa-apa kesalahan.
Untuk mendapatkan jawapan yang bermakna, kita perlu soalan yang tepat.
Amat sedih dengan apa yang berlaku di atas.
Tiada ruang untuk berita palsu.
Negara kita telah merekodkan kes harian baru sebanyak...
Hanya fakta yang diberikan.
Amat penting untuk meneruskan perjuangan negara melawan pandemik ini.
Sentiasa memastikan suara anda, suara rakyat didengari.
Kenapa?
Membawakan apa yang penting di mana sahaja anda berada.
Kerana kita hendak putuskan rantaian jangkitan.
Belanjawan dan pendekatan bertemakan survival ini secara keseluruhan.
Teruskan bersama kami, Astro Awani, saluran berita yang paling dipercayai rakyat Malaysia.
Kita berhadapan dengan situasi pandemik yang agak luar biasa.
It's self-control, self-lockdown itu penting.
Lebih kurang pergerakan, maka lebih sukar untuk COVID menjangkit kita.
Untuk tempoh 2 minggu ini, duduk di rumah. Kalau kita boleh laksanakan KKP, kendiri dan keluarga.
Saya kira insyaAllah kita boleh berjaya. Akhirnya kita menang.
Amanah di tangan kita. Adat, budaya dan semangat menjadi kesinambungan perpaduan tanah air yang tercinta. Berteraskan adab yang terpahat di jiwa dan raga. Marilah bersama kita membina negara Malaysia.
Semua yang terjadi adalah berita, tetapi tiada siapa yang boleh bawakan yang terkini dan tergempar seperti kami.
Dilihat hanya memberi wang tanpa matlamat yang tepat.
Dia tidak melakukan apa-apa kesalahan.
Untuk mendapatkan jawapan yang bermakna, kita perlu soalan yang tepat.
Amat sedih dengan apa yang berlaku di atas.
Tiada ruang untuk berita palsu.
Negara kita telah merekodkan kes harian baru sebanyak...
Hanya fakta yang diberikan.
Amat penting untuk meneruskan perjuangan negara.
Hi, thank you so much for staying with Sharad and I on Consider This. Shak Koyok is a contemporary artist and an activist of the Temuan tribe of Selangor. He joins us on the line now. Shak, good evening. Thank you for being on the show tonight. Now, you know, whenever we discuss the impact of this pandemic on Indigenous communities, there's been a lot of focus on the economic hardships that are faced by Orang Asal communities. Can I ask you, though, Shak, about the cultural issues? Has there been an impact on preserving the culture and language and identity of Orang Asli communities, particularly impacted in this 1.5 years?
Yes. You know, every Temuan in Mamre, we celebrating Hari Moyang or Ancestral Day. Last year, we cannot celebrate it like we used to. And that actually will... affect a lot to the community that we cannot practice our celebration like we does many years, you know, and that also give a lot of stories, a lot of our lifestyle during the especially in preparing the indigenous celebration, especially Ancestral Day, will be lost. And we actually lost so many of the older generation as well last year, and that doesn't help, you know, because or actually we are non-indigenous people, we are known to petition our oral history, so our stories always been passed down via our oral story that been told during the Ancestral Day. So Ancestral Day is very much important in Temuan and Mamre lifestyle, and then without them, the story is hard for us to tell to other younger generation.
Right, Shaq, because you know all communities, all faith communities have had to, in some ways, adjust to the realities of the pandemic. But could you help us understand? I mean, you already said, you know, not being able to celebrate Moyang Day, which is like Ancestor Day. Have the community lost individuals to COVID? And you know, what kind of impact is, you know, especially in a community where oral traditions are so important? What impact has that had?
Well, as you know, the AB community, AB Orang community, we build our own blockade in front of villages. So we not even allow, even me, because I live in Kuala Lumpur, they not allow me to go back because they are so afraid I bring something or other younger generation that live in the city, could they, for them, it's hard for them to come back itself. So, and so many people who have a career in the city, they have a children as well. So it's hard for children to come back easily to the village to visit their relatives. So, and also, for example, so many Orasli as well, some of them still practicing the, you know, cultivating the jungle product from the jungle, but those cultures cannot practice anymore. They cannot just because those jungle products they usually they could sell them they usually can sell them in the market, but since this pandemic, there's no market, there's no place for them to sell, and they're affected a lot for their you know, livelihood, and also they cannot even do trading with the other neighbor also, but. Because honestly, always trading each other toward their neighbor. For example, my mom to my neighbor. We always sharing each other. If we get more than we need, we just share the rest of it to our neighbor. But we cannot do that anymore because we follow the SOP very carefully, and we cannot do that anymore.
Shaq, can I ask you, in your conversations with young people from indigenous communities, do they feel a sense of loss of identity or a cultural tensions that pull at them? You know, I'm just wondering whether there's pressure to assimilate for young indigenous peoples, and what resources are available to them to hold on to their culture and their languages?
And the only thing they can, I think it's the only thing for them to keep their tradition, their their identity on is their village, their customary land, their forest, their land. That's the only thing. But soon they go to the school. Those things never been mentioned anymore. And then they always have to learn new culture, new knowledge, and without knowing about their own knowledge. And soon enough, they're gonna lose their connection to their own tradition, lifestyle, their tradition, and that actually will force them basically to assimilate with a new culture, for example, Western culture or you know, Malaysian culture that's really not really very strange for us, very alien for us, for indigenous people, especially the young generation. And it doesn't help because our education system doesn't even include any of a story from indigenous people, or the story never been told, the history of Rasli never been told in school, that actually will create so much attention to the Rasli student that went to the school, that they're dealing with people who doesn't understand Rasli. They end up become a victim of bully, victim of the pressure, and then they have to be for them to be Rasli in the school is impossible. They have to change, they have to assimilate, they have to adapt to the new environment. Even for me, I remember when I was in the university, I got fed up, have to explain myself about Rasli. Some of our students doesn't know it, so I have to pretend that I'm Malay or anything that I don't need to explain anymore, because it's so frustrating. Because every time I say I'm honestly, people say, oh, you live in a tree. Oh, you live in a long house. Oh, you eat this, you eat that. You know, there's so much stereotype out there. This is not just I had a dream, but this is happened to any honestly in the school, in the university.
Shuck, thank you so much for sharing that with us. We appreciate your time and you sharing your stories with us. That was artist and Orang Asli activist Shuck Koyok. We're going to take another quick break, but after this, we'll speak to a community organizer from the Center for Orang Asli Concerns. Stay tuned to Consider This.
Amanah di tangan kita. Adat, budaya dan semangat menjadi kesinambungan perpaduan tanah air yang tercinta. Berteraskan adab yang terpahat di jiwa dan raga. Marilah bersama kita membina negara Malaysia.
Semua yang terjadi adalah berita, tetapi tiada siapa yang boleh bawakan yang terkini dan tergempar seperti kami.
Dilihat hanya memberi wang tanpa matlamat yang tepat. Dia tidak melakukan apa-apa kesalahan.
Untuk mendapatkan jawapan yang bermakna, kita perlu soalan yang tepat.
Amat sedih dengan apa yang berlaku di atas.
Tiada ruang untuk berita palsu.
Negara kita telah merekodkan kes harian baru sebanyak...
Hanya fakta salah yang saya diberikan.
Faham. Amat penting untuk meneruskan perjuangan negara melawan pandemik ini.
Sentiasa memastikan suara anda, suara rakyat didengari.
Kenapa?
Membawakan apa?
Hi, you're watching Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris. With me is Sharad Kutin. Indigenous peoples are one of, if not the poorest and most marginalized groups in Malaysia, and their vulnerability has been further compounded by the COVID-19 pandemic, affecting their access to medicines, healthcare, education and livelihoods. Dayang Shanira Sliman is a project coordinator at the Center for Orang Asli Concerns. She joins us now. Dayang, good evening. Thank you for being on the show tonight. Can you share with us what you've observed through your work as the effect of the pandemic on Orang Asli communities, particularly in the past 1.5 years, whether these past few months have been harder than, say, a year ago?
I can say that from our first, our first MCO until now, that now is much better. That the Orang Asli, they are getting used with SOP and all those things. They understand actually what they need to do afterward. Because previously, with the first PKP, right, like the first MCO, everyone was panicking, and there was like, because there's a lot of information here and there, then they are confused and all. But after, I think after in a while, they are, getting like, they know actually what happened now, and then they are getting used with those SOP and all those things. So I think that now the Orang Asli are No, they know what is actually happened right now. So I think, yeah, that is very, I think that's the current situation happened now for the orang asli.
Right. Yeah, so that's really good news that, you know, public education awareness about the pandemic is reaching those communities and they are much better prepared. Could you help us understand where the gaps are? What could be done better for those communities, especially, you know, the ones that you are serving in your work?
That I can say, in my because I work really closely with the orang asli community, that now, mostly the, I mean, I can say that the NGOs help a lot of the, especially the orang asli in remote area. So that now, I think that in a way that, I think that, how do I say this, that now, the gap between the first MCO and the second MCO is like a very, very huge gap. That, and then they are realized about the health concern and all those things. And then that, as for my experience, I'm sharing this, that now that we are still trying to get the community, especially in the remote area, to get vaccinated, it's really hard, but we are trying our best because there's, I can say that mostly in the, or actually that in urban and then semi-urban area, they get vaccinated. But then in remote area, I cannot say that most of them still didn't get vaccinated. Like, so we are trying our best to, you know, to involve them. I mean, we are trying our best.
Dayo,
you know, like, in the,
Dayo, is it a question of access to healthcare, to vaccination centers, or is it a question of hesitance and awareness about the need for vaccination?
About this, about the healthcare vaccination center, there's a healthcare vaccination center in, I think that in the semi-urban area, they do. But then in remote area, they don't have much this access. So basically, the NGO and then the government, I mean the medical team, they are trying to, you know, to communicate more with the orang asli lah.
Dayang, you mentioned a lot of the work of NGOs, and you say they're very important. What could the government do better in servicing the needs of orang asli communities in the peninsula?
I can say that the government can do better in, you know, distributing the information regarding those I can say that a lot of orang asli community, they receive wrong information, you know, when they hear about the information, they, you know, kind of scared getting vaccinated and all those things. So I hope that the government, especially in the, you know, health team, they can do better about it lah.
What about education? I'm just wondering, I mean, already there have been challenges before the pandemic in having, you know, access to education, access to internet and digital online education exacerbated by the pandemic. Are you hearing things when you work with orang asli communities? Do they struggle with interest and motivation to remain in school and connected to online learning?
I can say it's very challenging for the orang asli community, especially because in remote area, it's really hard for them to get the, you know, the line connections, especially because they need internet and then they need a device, you know, such as phone and all those things. But then, as for example, because they need the online distance learning, it's very hard for them, especially when they went back to their village and then the village they have a very bad, you know, line coverage. So, but mostly in the semi-urban, but they do have, you know, the line coverage, but it's hard for them in terms of, you know, the device and all those things. So, yeah, this is very challenging, but I believe that the students, they are trying their best. Like, they build, you know, they go somewhere with a very good coverage, and then they study there for a few hours, and they went back to their village, yeah.
Tayong, thank you so much for joining us on the show tonight. We appreciate your time and you sharing some of the observations from your work. That was Tayong Shanira Seliman from the Center for Orang Asli Concerns. Thank you so much for joining us on the show tonight. But before we leave you, a quick reminder that you can get all the latest news and information on COVID-19 vaccines at astroawani.com as well as the Astro Awani app. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutan, signing off for the evening.
Thank you so much for watching. Good night.